Hello and welcome to the Eat PhD Team podcast, the podcast here to help you with your relationship with food and body by giving you evidence-based techniques to support yourself with a sprinkling of feminism, a dash of dismantling diet culture and a side of vulnerability as we share our own messy lives with you. I'm Emilia, a registered nutritionist and PhD with the sole purpose of making your life happier and healthier. If you love it, please do go wild and share it. And if you're ready for support with our coaching, details are in the show notes. Hello and welcome to episode number 279 of the Eat PhD Team podcast. This episode has not been sponsored by, but has been inspired by this newish, it's probably not that new, trend of doing weekend, of seeing weekend or week or month FOMO dumps. And I had a conversation with one of the incredible coaches that I mentor, and she was saying, you know, I'm struggling to put content out because my life's so boring right now, and I'm not going out so much, and all my pictures would just be like me and the dog. And it sparked something in me, because I think, especially in my echo chamber, right, we've moved away from transformation pictures as a source of comparison, and you'll never see us at ET PhD posting transformation pictures for many reasons. But you may have seen, you know, fat loss transformations before and compared yourself to them, or you've used social media and you've found yourself kind of comparing to different things. And I think that these life dumps, which I, what a horrible phrase, like life dumps, that I love in terms of social media weekly dumps, monthly dumps. I need to stop saying the word dump, it's actually giving me the heebie-jeebies. Anyway, I love them. I love to see people post them. I post them. I think they're a beautiful way of people showing what they love in their life right now, or what they've been doing, even if it's like just lots of memes and food, and I don't care what it is, I love it. But it has, I think, become like this new source of comparison. Look how much I do. I work and I also have this relationship, and I also ate all this beautiful food and baked all of these beautiful cakes by hand. And I also ran a marathon whilst also, I don't know, balanced 10 books on my head whilst ingesting all of them at the same time. And that would be audible. It has kind of become like this, look how much I've done. And as a result, I think sometimes we can internalize a message which is not necessarily helpful. And that message is, you can have it all. And this sounds very anti-motivational. Hopefully it's not. Hopefully by the end of the pod. It's going to be a quick pod today, but I think an essential podcast, in my humble opinion. Hopefully by the end of this podcast, you can see, like, you get something from this rather than me saying, you can't have it all. I filtered some of Oliver Burtman's work in today because I think it really aligns with the message that I'm trying to share. So there'll be little bits of that throughout. But also, as we're coming up to, it's the 11th of December as I record this, we're coming up to the end of the year, into the new year. This is when everyone's going to say, oh, this is all the things that I achieved this year. And again, it comes down to like 14 marathons, 13 triathlons, 12 cooking contests, 11 new businesses started, 10 marriages, whatever, right? It becomes that as we get to the end of the year. And you might think, oh yeah, I love it. And honestly, I do. I love seeing other people's lives, whatever they look like. I think achievements or kind of quantifiable achievements, or we're able to rest more, we're able to enjoy the present more, any of these things, I love it all, right? But I know for some people, sometimes, and certainly my past self, I would have found that kind of triggering that comparison trap when we get stuck in a negative loop because we feel less than someone else. And we start to measure our success through comparison, which is just an ultimate recipe for failure. When we compare to these types of things, and when we compare to these messages that say, like, do it all, achieve more, do more all the time, we end up kind of not celebrating our wins because we feel like they're menial, they're trivial, they don't compare. We can often resent people we love, people we respect, because they're sharing this stuff and we feel resentful towards that. It can create feelings of low mood, low self-esteem, and that's ultimately, that's just not how I want you to end 2023 or start 2024. And obviously, it's all about me and what I want, clearly. I saw some market research, so not, you know, not a meta-analysis or systematic review or randomized controlled trial, but I saw some market research that looked at people and their ratings of, their self ratings of achievement. And when they were asked how they felt about their place in life and their achievements, people with loads of Facebook friends gave themselves lower marks if they just viewed their friends' status updates compared with people who hadn't recently been on Facebook. Now, obviously, Facebook, and this is probably a bit of old market research, no offense Facebook, love you so much, but you know yourself, like if you go on Instagram and then you just see story after story, post after post of people and saying how much they've done and how they've done it all, it makes you feel kind of less celebrated about your own life, and that really sucks, because you don't deserve to feel that way. But often when we are triggered and we see these types of posts, it's because we're not doing something that we want, not because we want what someone else has, but because we're not taking action in ways that feel important to us, that align with our values. It's not about the fact that so-and-so is getting married. It's about the fact that you want to be in a loving relationship, but you're working so much that you can't prioritize that, and it feels triggering. That is just one very small example, and I'm not saying that's the case for everyone, but often that's the reason. Now, there are, of course, other situations where you might feel triggered because, I think fertility is probably a good example here, where, you know, you're doing everything that you can, and someone falls pregnant and that's triggering for you. Of course, that's not what I'm referring to here, and that's certainly not about self-blame or anything that you can do differently, but it is that kind of still falls into that narrative of like this comparison trap, right? And the purpose really for me today of this podcast is not even less about comparison, although I am going to talk to you about, you know, some ways to avoid comparison, but from one independent millennial woman to another independent woman, I want you to have everything that you have ever wanted, and I want you to be resilient and strive for whatever you want and put the work in and be constant with your efforts in the direction of the things that you want. But I also would love it if you could recognize that you can have it all, but you can't have it all 100% of the time. Or you can't have 100% of it 100% of the time. And this constant fighting that we do for 100% of things 100% of the time means that we're just constantly feeling like we're not doing enough, that we're not good enough. And we constantly fall into this comparison. It doesn't mean that you can't have everything that you want, but it does mean that sometimes one part of your life will get 10 out of 10 effort and time, and one thing might get 6 out of 10, and then at other times something might get 4 out of 10, and the other thing will be 9 out of 10. And, you know, I know Roz, Anna, a couple of times on the podcast have spoken about like the hob analogy, and I think they got this from Lucy Lord. This idea that, you know, if you imagine your life with like 6 hobs burning, 6 pans on each hob, you cannot be burning them all 100% or cooking them all 100% 100% of the time. Something's going to bubble over and you have to prioritize that, and the other things will slow down. And that is the same with your life. And when you reflect on your year and start comparing to everyone who's saying how much they've achieved and in all areas of their life, remember that you can't quantify everything with metrics and pictures. And maybe your biggest win was taking a step back from something to create space for something else. and you didn't lose your shit whilst you were doing it. Like, to me, that's incredible. And you'll never really see, maybe from ETPHD, because, you know, we know, but it was rare that you will see someone say, my biggest achievement this year was actually taking a step back up from this so that I could put more focus into this. You won't see it. You'll see people say, I took a little bit step back and as a result, my work output exponentially increased because I chilled out a little bit. And so not only did I take a step back so that I could, I don't know, train for a marathon, but I did the marathon and as a result, my work got better, or I moved up the career ladder or something. Like, no one ever says, like, yeah, I paused on that. And as a result, you know, my career paused for a year, but all these other parts of my life feel more whole than they've ever felt before. It's just not a sexy narrative, so people don't talk about it. But you're guaranteed to miss out on experiences, and you will never get everything done. And you will never have everything that you want 100%, 100% of the time, and the energy to do it all. Once you accept that, you stop chasing some sort of peace in completing things, and you can be more present in those things that you do focus on. Oliver Berkman says it's like this illusion, and says you won't be living under the illusion that one day you'll make time for everything. You can then focus on the few things that count. And to me, that's what a wholehearted successful life is. Focusing on the things that count. But as you look to other people, quantifying everything, you think, well, how did they focus on all of these different things? They're not showing you the stuff that went to shit. They're not showing you the crumbling in their relationship when they worked and trained 24 hours a day for 6 months. They're showing, you know, 6 months later when them and their partner are off on holiday somewhere because they've taken a rest from the work side of things to focus on the other side of things. Really remember that no one is immune from this. And honestly, and I know people that you might look at and think, oh, there's 100%. No one, maybe, I was going to say, maybe you look at me like that, but I feel like you don't. I feel like you know me quite well now. So if you listen to this podcast, so you know that I definitely don't look like I have everything all of the time. But I just want you to remember, everything comes with a sacrifice. Everything. And the longer you try and focus on having it all of the time, the more frustrated you're going to get and the more stuck in comparison you're going to get. As we move towards, you know, the end of the year and you see these dumps, I promise I'm not going to say it again. I'm going to try anyway. Think about, like, instead of comparing, consider how you can use comparison to your benefit. Or rather, instead of saying I'm not going to compare, focus on how you can use comparison to your benefit. How can it inspire you? How can it motivate you? Celebrate other people's successes. Honestly, one of the best ways to overcome resentment is to celebrate other people's successes. And I know I am being general here, and there are some things that this will be really difficult on. And again, let's take the fertility journey. You know, if this is something you've been working towards for a while and it's not happening for whatever reason, it can be really difficult to celebrate the successes of other people in that realm. And that's, of course, we have to make space for that. But in work, in love, in, you know, travel, life experiences, can you focus on Freude? One of the great words, like Schadenfreude, but the opposite, i.e. happiness for other people's happiness and success. Retrain your brain by shutting down negative self-talk. If you notice negative self-talk when you see these things, like, call yourself on it and remind yourself, like, okay, what are my values? What's important to me? Where am I focusing my energy right now? Because chances are, if you focused on taking a step back from work, say, to focus on, you know, travel and life, and you see someone else who's your same age as you and they've had a really big career year, chances are you will feel some sort of way about it. But can you come back to your own path and remember, I chose to sacrifice that just a little bit so that I could focus on other things, because that is the reality of life. Learn to compliment people for their successes instead of comparing to them. Of course, the mute button's always there, but I think some questions to ask yourself can be really helpful, and these are questions that I sometimes use for myself. Like, one, is the sacrifice worth it? Accept, first of all, that you will have to make some sacrifices, and then move through that. And then as you're moving through it, think, is the sacrifice worth it? A good example of this is if you're on a fat loss journey, you will have to sacrifice alcohol sometimes. You will have to sacrifice eating everything that you want all of the time. You might have to sacrifice, you know, like maybe you every Friday night you go for drinks with your friends in the pub. And you might have to sacrifice the drinks that you have every Friday night because it leads to a hangover, then it changes the way that you eat. Ask yourself, like, is this sacrifice worth it? If it is, then great, own it and you know, feel empowered by that. If not, okay, well then you need to change something. So look at the parts of your life where you feel like you haven't put in as much intention or effort. And one, was that a conscious choice? And two, was it worth it? And if not, what are you going to change? At the end of this year, ask yourself, or at the end of every week, what have I paid attention to? What you pay attention to will define your reality. And I don't think we consider this enough. We let our brains go off on one, thinking about food, thinking about our bodies, thinking about comparison, thinking about other people, thinking about how we've been hard done by, how we feel angry towards people. That's what your reality is. And what's incredible is that we can focus our attention wherever we want. And something we do with the ETPHD method when it comes to body image is really look at, you know, attention training, bringing it back to the present moment whenever our minds go off thinking about bodies, etc. Because your experience of life is just a sum of what you pay attention to. And how have you paid attention this week? What have you paid attention to this year? And what has that then looked like in the outcomes? Ask yourself, what did I procrastinate on today, this week, this year? Something that did come up in Oliver Berman's book was, it's 4,000 weeks, by the way, he framed procrastination in a way that I had never heard, and I really loved it. And he said, procrastination is easier because we can pretend that we can have it all when we don't fully commit. So, example. It would have been easy for me 2 years ago to say, so maybe when did I go through my single mother by choice start of that journey? 2021. Okay, and it would have been easy for me then to say, I can do it all. I can run my businesses and be successful and continue for them to grow whilst being a great friend, hopefully great daughter, sister, and have a child on my own and balance it all and do amazing at all of these things. And without accepting that some sacrifice would have to be made. And at a time, I remember procrastinating on that. Or rather, I held off the second part of that journey and I never went through with that. Many of you know I have sperm on ice. And I never went through the process of embryo freezing, egg freezing, anything like that in the end. And, you know, there were myriad reasons for that. But at the time, I remember thinking, am I procrastinating on this? Am I procrastinating on this? Because it's easier right now to tell myself I can do it all, rather than living the reality that's not possible. It's not possible to do all of those things to the best of my ability all the time. Well, to the best of my ability, yes, but not what looks like 100% outcome. It's not possible. But if I procrastinate and don't take action, then I can tell myself it's possible. I can tell myself I can do it all. And that's much better for my ego. So I encourage you to think about what have you procrastinated on today, this week, last year? And could there be an element there of procrastinating because it's easier? Because rather than accept that you can't do it all, you're telling yourself that you can and instead you're just not taking action. I think that is an incredibly powerful question to ask yourself. And really, as the year ends, and it kind of comes to a close, I'm going to leave you with a couple of things. One, it's not disempowering to say you can have it all. To me, as a woman, it's disempowering and actually stifles us and stops us from making change when we say you can have it all and expect to have it all. quote from Oliver Berkman that I'm going to leave you with is that our obsession with extracting the greatest future out of our time blinds us to the reality that, in fact, the moment of truth is always now. That life is nothing but a succession of present moments. Please don't waste your present moment in comparison, in thinking about what you should have done, in looking at these quantifiable achievements all the time, or solely looking at these, in thinking about what you have to then next achieve next year, what you have to focus on, and instead think about right now is all we have, and don't give that moment away readily. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. And as always, if you did, please do feel free to like, share, subscribe, and review. And if you would like to chat to me, then you can find details of my Instagram in the show notes.